So beautiful. That is 95 by Yumi Zuma off of their new album, No Love Lost to Kindness. And we're very lucky to be joined by Charlie and Josh in the studio. Morena.
Morning. Good to see you guys. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for coming up. How are we this morning?
We're good. We're so good. Thankful to be in humid Auckland, as always.
Yeah. Well, you guys are not based here. None of you are based in New Zealand anymore, eh?
No, I live in Brooklyn. Charlie lives in London and Chrissy lives in Melbourne. But actually our drummer Olivia is holding the fort down in Windy Wellington.
Okay. All right, good. But so spread out, and I read in the press release that the album was recorded in New Mexico.
Well, actually OG Mexico, in Mexico City itself.
Oh, sorry,
yeah.
Yes.
But in a few different places, but Mexico City was sort of the genesis sessions of the record, which is a wonderful place. We highly recommend recording and eating and hanging out in Mexico City.
That is so cool. How did that come about? Were you touring at the time?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. We were playing in Mexico City the night before. It was in between dates on the North American tour, so we just took the time off to start the album there, and then we had some sessions in New York and London and here and around here as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all over the place.
So cool. I feel like this album as well, I'm a big fan. I like it a lot. No Love Lost to Kindness. I feel as though it's an interesting like sonic turn for you guys. There's some quite like heavier tracks on there. There's some rockier stuff. And you both produced the album as well,
yep.
Right? So talk us through the sort of sonic journey and how we've got to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that because it started while we were on tour, like when you're playing shows, things are just like louder and raunchier. And if you do that in between, you know, you go into the studio in between touring, I think you bring some of that energy. We're in the past, we've kind of gone into the studio after touring. So you're like, I want to like chill and maybe like have a different sort of energy in there or a different sort of dynamic thing. So like I think that was maybe kind of what led to that, but also starting a lot of songs together in the room. Just with that arrangement, it's you lean into that more. What do you think, Charlie? Why did we get aggro?
I think well, like you're saying, I think when you're into it makes a difference, because also you want to have maybe some songs in your set that you don't currently have.
Yeah.
And we're always keen for maybe some more rock moments. Yeah. Live, because like when we first started, you know, we were very like bedroom pop, synth pop kind of band. But that was, you know, back in 2013, 2014, we first started playing live. So once you've released, you know, 5 albums, you want your sound to change a little bit, have a different experience when you're playing.
Do you feel like as well, because obviously living spread across the globe, and then the times that you are back together, you're often touring, writing and recording sort of all at the same time, it must feel quite nice to have that sort of instant feedback of when you try a new song for a crowd and see how they react and then sort of tweak it. And yeah, does that impact how it sounds when you go into the studio?
Yeah, I mean, I wish that we were the type of band that was like making songs in the studio and then like playing them out live. But you know, we haven't played any of this record live at all.
Oh,
so
we haven't
been able to do that. So there definitely though, there were moments where after we'd been in the studio, we were like getting to song 6 on the set list and we're like, oh, we wish we had that song we'd been working on, or like, you know. So yeah, definitely maybe we should try that next time. Maybe we should finally do that. But yeah, I mean, the band is kind of such a weird setup that we don't have like weekly rehearsals, or like we don't have shows in between records or anything, that you've planted that in my head now, and I'm like, damn, that would be cool. Unfortunately, not the case.
Yes. But also so exciting for everyone to be able to listen to these songs fresh for the first time and then later see them live.
Yeah.
See how they've evolved.
We're all in the same boat right now. We're trying to learn the songs for the first time in the next few weeks, and you'll be hearing them live.
We two are like, I wonder how this shall sound live. Yeah. So
yeah. Who's going to play what?
It's yeah. All,
yeah. I guess it's just like a calculated risk, eh? Like,
yeah.
Much as life, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's similar to life. That's super exciting that you've decided to take a little bit of a different direction. What kind of influences, like, were you listening to kind of heavier music yourselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we started, I mean, honestly, a big influence on this record was I finally watched, years later, the She Heart documentary.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, they are an incredible band for, like, the heaviness, but, like, the production of it. And I think some of that, like, rock sort of stuff, like... I'm blanking on the band's name that we love, that we clearly don't love that much.
From where?
From New Zealand? From the early 2000s, very rocky. I want to say Garbage, but it's not Garbage. But a lot of stuff like that, you know, like...
Rock from the early 2000s.
Okay. Early so from New Zealand. I was listening to a lot of Tadpole.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, Tadpole.
Estella.
Fur nice. Patrol yeah. as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and a lot of those... like, so, you know, a track like Lydia has, like, is so evocative and soft in points, but then so heavy in other points. Mm. And I think that was kind of a thing that we were interested in doing, of, like, how do you have some of that, those sort of quieter emotional sort of parts, but then those really sort of, like, heavy parts as well. So I think that was, like, an influence for the heavier stuff for sure.
Silverchair?
Silverchair,
late 90s Antipodean
yeah.
rock, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that about the sort of dynamic range of, like, emotions and of heaviness as well, because I was thinking that when I was listening, that some of those lyrics are so gutting, but then also there's, like, the heavier aggro stuff, as you say, but then there's quite a lot of really, like, beautiful and uplifting stuff as well, so it does feel like you've tackled a real range here within this album. Have you got personal favourite songs? Because we've heard quite a few of the singles, and now we've got the whole album, but I want to know if you've got favorites.
Yeah, I think my favorite song, Joshua's Last, that is the last one on the album. It's yeah. Waiting for the Cards to Fall. Mm-hmm. And I really like that one just because it's so soft. Mm. So it's like the most ballady ballad that we've ever done. And it came by complete mistake in Mexico City when we were moving parts around in the song, and we just sort of came across this happy accident of making the bass do that in the chorus, and then the rest of the song followed from there. So I'll choose that one.
Yeah, I mean, it is a single, one of my favorites, but Cowboy Without a Clue, which I often think is kind of like a very quintessential Umizoomba song, that it feels very like us. And yeah, just like, it was kind of like one of those ones that was really fun to work on. I'm probably going to get scolded for not saying that it's Phoebe's song, the love song I wrote for my girlfriend. So that should be number one, and I will retract my earlier answer because
well,
I know she's listening.
You can stay at BFM if you get kicked out of the house. I think I speak on behalf of many when we've all had blister stuck in our head,
yeah.
like really badly, like to the point where I kind of wake up and it's just blaring.
That was the intention.
It's so catchy. Like, yeah. Did you write it and you were like, yeah. We got the catchy one.
Yeah, we were trying to write a song for like a Vodafone $10 text ad. Like, yeah, I mean, that was somewhat the... Actually, that one, I remember when we sort of were writing some of the press release stuff, we filled it with a lot of like C4 references, like Big Day Out references, which I think was lost on many, but the few people that got the references to it. But yeah, that one we sometimes joke is our song too, you know, like from Blur, like... the woohoo, it was like us just being as
extra
as possible. Yeah,
when we were in the studio, we couldn't really believe that we were writing it, you know. We've been a dream pop band for so long, our whole thing has been being like very demure, very like restrained and chill. So when we were in the studio just pulling out all these massive riffs and like ridiculous vocal hooks, we were just like, oh, do we really want to do this? But it was so much fun that yeah, we had to do it.
And it works.
Yeah.
So exciting looking ahead to 2026. I know you're heading back on tour in America. I'm sure lots of our BFM listeners are wondering if there's Aotearoa shows in the works.
In the works, for sure. Sort of late June, early July.
Okay.
Keep those eyes and ears peeled. But yeah, we definitely will be coming to New Zealand sometime this year. We wouldn't miss it for the world.
So cool. Well, thanks for coming up, guys.
Thank you for having us.
It's so nice to have you up in the studio. We're going to listen to your second favorite song on the album, Josh, Cowboy Without a Clue, after Phoebe's song, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
thanks for coming up and congratulations on the album.
Thanks, Emily. Thanks for
you.